Welcome to Life Talks by Transplant Life. The views expressed in this episode do not necessarily reflect the views of LifeBulb. This is not meant to be medical advice, and any and all concerns or changes should be addressed with your medical team.
Hey friends, we are back with another Life Talk episode. This is Alicia, your Transplant Life Community Manager. I'm also a two-time liver transplant recipient. And today I am hanging out with my friend Taylor, who is a kidney transplant recipient. And we are going to be talking about the life path we have both chosen, which is working in transplant, post-transplant with our own experiences, and how we are navigating that world and that transition and how we're doing what we're doing. So welcome, Taylor. I'm very happy that you are here. And I would love to hear your story and your experience of how you made this decision to work in transplant and support transplant patients after your own transplant experience.
Thank you, Alicia. I am so excited to be here and share bits and pieces of my story. And part of that is having the background of being a yoga instructor and navigating my own health journey since being diagnosed at 18 months old and having to really learn how to advocate for myself as I transition from being in pediatric nephrology to adolescent and now being in my adulthood and learning lifestyle and what helps me thrive. And when I went into kidney failure, I absolutely noticed a gap in my care and what I needed to manage the next steps. And I felt desperate and confused and lost. And I felt like I lost a lot of bits and pieces of my life and parts of myself. And I also noticed that I had a lot of identity around the things that I used to love. And so I grieved that. And it took a long time to try to figure out how to integrate those pieces of myself post-transplant. And so that's kind of what brought me to working in transplant and helping other patients and people, especially post-transplant, and kind of coming back to yourself and moving forward. And that really ties into my experience with being a yoga instructor and other holistic health practices and getting into the body again and helping to navigate the grief and the trauma and process all of the things that we go through as chronic illness patients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's like really interesting about both of our stories is we were both diagnosed like really, really young. And we had this experience like growing up in the medical world and then needing a transplant as we got older into adulthood. And I think we both come to it just from this place of really like the whole patient care. And I'm wondering if we kind of both ended up there because of this was our whole life and we really had to learn how to manage all these different aspects of self. I think it's very interesting, especially in the medical system where it's like, you are a body and you are a brain. And there's very little of that integration work, which is where you and I kind of both ended up on this spectrum.
Absolutely, because I can get really wrapped up in what my lab work looks like and all the little tiny details and numbers, and it starts to kind of objectify me a little bit, and I lose the person behind it. Even if it's just myself, I noticed I was starting to lose myself and get lost in the stress and the worry and the panic and the fear. And then I was kind of starting to kind of play around with that identity again, where I was losing the things that I really, really enjoyed doing as I was growing up and navigating this chronic illness. You know, I found my way and my routine and my structure, and I was really finding my groove in it. And then, you know, the next stage of my disease happened and I went into kidney failure, and then it was dialysis and transplant, and the mental capacity that all of that takes kind of completely ripped the foundation from underneath of me. And I've had to work, I feel like, 10 times harder to find what works for me, because it's all a new feeling. It's a new body. It's a new mindset and perspective on life and new experiences and new trauma that we hold in our body. And so to be able to release that and address it and not suppress it and and take it in a really beautiful way and kind of turn it into magic and like turn that pain into purpose and passion is really what has brought me here today.
Yeah, I love it. I'm so much of the same way. I think it's really interesting, especially talking to like people that grew up in this kind of pediatric realm into adulthood, because I think that's an entirely different conversation set of experiences, is you kind of see either one of two things of like, I want absolutely nothing to do with anything medical ever again. Like, I'm going to get my transplant and then leave completely and be on my own and kind of figure my own thing out. Or we see like this huge shift. I feel like a lot of people who had these experiences in their own life kind of go into these helping professions. So it's like you get one of two things pretty much. So yeah, I'm kind of curious how you ended up where you ended up instead of like leaning out and I don't want anything to do with this. How was it a conscious decision to like lean in and I want to give back to the community? Or like how did you land where you landed?
I think it's a little bit of both, where it's a conscious decision because we choose to show up for ourselves every given day and every given moment, right? But it's also a little bit of subconscious where, you know, I have the awareness that this is my life. You know, this is going to be the rest of my life. I can't run away from it. And I, as a teenager, was really, really deep in denial, like really deep in denial. You know, I stopped taking medications and I just was not helping myself at all. And, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. And so when my invisible illness became very, very visible to me and other people, it just made sense. You know, it's the path I walked where, you know, I showed up for myself every day, whether it was just holding the space for all the darkness or it was, you know, pulling myself out of the funk and out of the rut and choosing to take a more holistic aspect to my well-being, because I had full trust that, you know, my medical side is taken care of. I have so many people looking at so many different things. That's not what I need to worry about all the time. I need to take care of myself and find what feels good. Or else I also had the awareness that if I didn't do that, then I wasn't really giving myself or my body the chance to truly heal and thrive and get through this next process. So it was a little bit of both, of like choosing to show up for myself, but also like leaning into the unknown and just figuring out along the way and trying to lean into my body and ask my body what it needs and listen and sit in that. Because a lot of it wasn't necessarily taking action and doing anything. A lot of it was just sitting with myself and leaning into my body's wisdom. And then, like, from there, then making the conscious choice to move forward and do something with that.
Yeah, I think we're on the same wavelength about a lot of this stuff, which I mean is why I love talking to you so much. I love what you were saying about, like, you have so many people taking care of like the medical side of things, and I feel like a lot of people can relate to that. Like, they are on it. It's like labs are weird or something's going on, like they're on you, but there's not that same kind of like care when it comes to like mental health or emotional health, which obviously is like where you and I have seen this gap and where we're kind of coming in to support people in that way. And we're also like navigating our own experiences and like, yes, I'm doing this work for other people and I'm having to do it for myself every single day, and I'm still having to go to labs and I still go to my appointments. And so like, how do you have any tips or tricks or thoughts on managing your own emotions and, you know, supporting other people and like being able to, I guess, first of all, hold boundaries, but also like, so you're not putting your experience onto another person?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of different things that go into that. You know, like I ask for help too. Like I go to other people that might offer the same things I offer people, but I need that support too. And if I don't give that to myself, then I can't show up for other people. And that was before I even went into transplant. You know, that was being a yoga instructor, and you know, I'm also a nature-based educator for children. So it's just constantly having to fill my own cup up so I can offer myself. And then with that comes the clarity of how I can show up, what space I can hold, and the boundaries that come with that. Like, I am fully aware that there's things I don't know and I will forever be a student of life. And I think that's what intrigues me so much about the role that I'm in with helping people through transplant processes and post-transplant and just life in general. Like, there's so much to learn, and there's going to always be something that we can immerse ourselves in. And so that's kind of where what I walk with, so, you know, that open mind and that open perspective where I can be confident and say, like, I'm not sure about this, but let me like get back to you. I can do my own research. And if it isn't me, then I'm sure we can find someone else that can support you through this. And I definitely have had to get clear on what that looks like and what it is that I can show up in and where I can ask for help. There's always a fine line and balance with that, whether it's just for myself or for someone else.
Yeah, completely. That, like, taking care of yourself is such a big aspect. And I've noticed too, if like I try to be there for others and I'm not also filling up my own cup, then it's like I'm really not serving them. I'm not doing anything. I think I've talked about this before. I like to think of things as like a web. So I have the web of like people and things that are feeding into me. And then it's also going out into, now it's my community. And it's never a situation of like, oh, I have all the answers and I know all the things and I'm here to like make this better for you. But I think the more we can all support one another and tap into that with each other is really going to be like that groundwork for that emotional health piece and that mental health piece, where we can really cover all these other aspects is coming at from the community network side of things.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important to share our own stories and experiences, because that's just like a level of emotional support. And like, some people just really need to like connect in like that. But then I also have noticed within myself and with some other people too, like when we're learning new things, we want to share, we want to talk about it. We want to like, you know, connect with other people about it. So that's another aspect of it. Like, yes, I'm still learning, but I also like really want to share about this and talk about this and have like open dialogue about all these new concepts. And whether it could be something that I've been practicing for years, such as like yogic philosophy and my yoga instructing and Chinese medicine and energy work. Like, I have known about these things for so long and have been a practitioner of these things, but I'm still learning. And I still feel so much passion to talk about it and share and dive deeper into it.
Yeah, you're just connecting new pieces of the puzzle, I think, with everything you go through. Like, oh, this connects here and this does this. And it's like the same when we're learning from other people. You can go, oh, I can take this and put this here and do this. And kind of like building out your support network and your little care web with all these things that you're taking in. And I'm reading a book right now, and they're talking about, it's not at all related to transplant, but they're talking about like the work that they do in teaching. And they're like, there's the stories that are like, you know, you are teaching and sharing from this place of like, oh, I've lived this. And then there's ones that don't cost you anything, that are like, you don't have this, you know, personal connection to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I think both of us have kind of ended up where we are, is these are stories that like, they come from our own experiences. They come from what has worked for us, and like grabbing these things to build up our own resources. And I think when you have that and you are really well resourced and supported, it's kind of natural that that's going to like go outwards and impact the other people in your community.
Totally. And I think something that, you know, I haven't really touched on within that is like the initial step to even be in that place where you can show up in that way is that level of vulnerability and the confidence it takes to just stand there and show up as like fully authentic. There's a lot of different limiting beliefs that can come in. And so that's like a deeper level of healing and a deeper level of like shadow work. So yes, I do hold space for other people, but doing so helps me dive deeper into my own healing. And then we're all just kind of like navigating it together. It's never this like hierarchy of like, I know best, you know, it's like, let's hold hands together and let's figure this out and walk this path together. I have this, you have this, let's come together and create something magical and find what works. And, you know, it's like that vulnerability while also having the boundaries and the open-mindedness. It all just kind of like creates its own little web.
Yes, it does. I love that imagery. I think I've said multiple times, like when I started I mean, we both work in transplant now and in transplant related spaces. And I look back because I started my journey 4 years ago, immediately post-transplant, like posting on the internet, trying to, you know, build out my community at that point because I had none. And obviously that led me to where I am now. And I'm very grateful. And I look back at those things and I was like, oh, that was like, you know, I have to have so much grace and compassion for that version of me. And those, like, she was working through her trauma. She was trying to figure things out. And being able to hold that and be like, oh, okay, that's what I needed at that time. And I think that's influenced a lot of the work I'm doing now. If I can see other people in different phases of the journey, I'm like, oh, this is where you need to be right now. And, you know, we can all kind of learn from each other or relate to each other. Or it's like, yeah, I have been there in that exact spot. And like, this is what has helped me. So you can really build, like you were saying, you can build out, not hierarchical, you know, I'm above you and I know this.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I really like what you said, like having grace with it and knowing like where you are right now is where you're meant to be. And there really is no shoulds or shouldn'ts or like musts. Like that's just, yeah, where you are right now is where you need to be. And also being in that role of guiding other people, it's so important to acknowledge that the person that you are holding space for knows best. They know their body. Like it's really, you're leaning into them and trusting them and their instincts and what they feel and have to say. And you have active listening. That's yeah. Like the biggest key of all is that you are truly listening to this individual and what their needs and desires are and making sure their voice is heard. And I think that everyone in this space just desires that. And I think that that is one of the pieces that we kind of miss sometimes, especially in the medical realm, where there's just so many different patients to deal with. And like there's an influx. And so sometimes we feel a little bit overlooked. And so just to have that like one-on-one or a support group or just other people who get it makes all the world of a difference.
Yeah, it really is. Like you think it should be, oh, this is what community is. And it's, you know, this should be built in. And I think so much of the medical system is we are isolated patients. We're like in our own little bubble and we can't, you know, these things aren't lacking. So we have to go out and bring them in and seek them and really intentionally build into that, because maybe somewhere else it would be there. And in, yeah, just the realm that we live in, it's not something that's, it's kind of secondary, I guess, when you look at like, this patient needs to stay alive and like you need have the dialysis and you have the all these different things that are keeping this person alive. And it's really easy for everything else to just kind of like fall to the wayside. And we don't think about everything that the people are going through or that like, hey, we actually know what is going on in our bodies. And like, we should communicate that because it's so numbers and everything moves so fast. And I'm out of my element because I don't keep up like this. Like it's, yeah, very different experience.
Yes, exactly. And just to kind of like come back to my original point of like, was it conscious? Was it subconscious? Like, I was in such a fight or flight mode and just like pure survival mode that when I finally did get my transplant and I was post-transplant, I started to feel all the things that I was not feeling before. And boy, was that a lot. And so... Yeah. Just to notice and be in that space of self-awareness and see all of that coming up and what it was showing me, it was, one, it was overwhelming, you know? It was like, you know, I didn't know what to expect necessarily, but it was almost like I laughed. I was like, I didn't expect all this. Like, this is a lot and nobody's talking about it. And so I'm going to talk about it because it's my experience and maybe someone can weigh in and, you know, that's where the community kind of chimes in and we build each other up. And just seeing and witnessing how me being authentic to myself and being vulnerable and sharing what I've gone through has helped other people has also empowered me to then be in this role.
Yeah, we really need like the brave people to go out and be the first ones to share, because if someone shows us that we can do it, they're like, oh, okay, this isn't that bad. But we need those people to go first, which I think is what you've done and what I've done. Yeah, I love that you talked about the nervous system because that's like my jam. I could nerd out and talk about the nervous system forever because I think that's such a big piece, especially in dealing with like chronic illness and transplant and all of that kind of realm of things. I'm going to bring this back to me and my nervous system because I will be listening to somebody share their transplant story. And there are moments that I was like, ooh, that feels a little close to what I went through. My nervous system is like, ooh, we're going to, you know, move away from that because that's a lot and a lot of memory. And I'm sure that happens to all of us that are in this community and intermingling with one another and hearing their stories. And how do you navigate your own nervous system, staying connected to yourself, and being able to actually hold yourself through these moments that are overwhelm and this feels a little bit too close to home?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's not easy. It's different every time it shows up, too. I was just actually, you know, helping someone who went through transplant. And then I'm also talking about dialysis centers. And just sometimes I get these visions and these memories come back, whether it's like a visual memory or it's just a memory that my body holds, because the body keeps score, right? And it's,
yes,
it shows up and I have to be curious about it instead of be resistant to it. I've really learned that the curiosity for me is where it can take me a little bit deeper into, one, healing it and understanding it better, but also being able to hold space for it within myself. And usually how it shows up for me is I get a little bit ungrounded and I start to maybe disassociate a little bit, or, you know, I start to kind of like tap out. And after so many times of experiencing that throughout my life, you know, since being diagnosed, because that was a way that I kind of coped as a young kid, not really having like control over what was being done. You know, that my coping mechanism was to disassociate. So I've built up enough like self-awareness to know like, okay, I clearly right now, I definitely feel I'm overwhelmed. Maybe I'm overstimulated. I'm disassociating a little bit. I feel ungrounded. So that's always like the sign for me. And that's when I just have to, whether it's like literally remove myself from a situation for a little bit, just to give myself some space to process, because it takes me a long time to process things. You know, I'm very much someone who feels it in the body first and then the mind comes, where I'm like, okay, this is what I'm moving through. This is this feeling. Let's like acknowledge it, release it. And a lot of that's through movement and dance and getting my feet on the ground and getting some fresh air, and then also quieting my mind, because I've also found that I can't really quiet my mind unless I move it all through my body first. But yeah, those are kind of the signs for me. And then like that automatically tells me, you know, what I need to do and what I need to lean into, because I've been so resistant to it in the past.
Yeah, I feel like you just kind of like you read my mind and like picked up where I wanted to go with this. Yeah, there's a huge piece of like you need to approach it with curiosity and grace for yourself versus the, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with me. This means like, because then you get more up in your head and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm reading all the signs and I'm more overwhelmed and my nervous system is more overwhelmed by this experience. I think for me, one of the things I noticed too is like that feeling of, ooh, I'm pulling back. I'm not as engaged, or I'm sitting here having this conversation, but I'm not present, or like that kind of thing. And I'll notice like the signs that it almost feels like I drank too much coffee. Like my body will start to get really jittery. So a lot of it, like you were saying, I move things through my body. I will like, if you've been in a meeting with me before, I'll sit and I'll just like tap either like on my collarbone or on the side of my hand, like during the meeting as a way to come back to myself, or I'll like give myself a hug during a meeting. I think the other thing that's really big for me to like stay in that zone where I'm healthy enough to also be giving back to the community is like building in these practices every single day that are going to help me stay in that regulated nervous system state. And I can tell the difference of like when I'm actively doing these practices and doing the work every single day of like journaling and cold plunges and moving my body, and when I'm not, like the difference in how I'm showing up is huge.
Oh, totally. I can relate to all of that. And yeah, that's, I call it my little like my little toolbox, my toolkit. It's like the journaling, the dance, the yoga, the breath work, whatever it is. It's, yeah, I definitely have my toolbox. And when I have like put that away and dust is collecting on it, then the dust is also collecting on me and my soul. I need to use my tools every single day because life is stressful and it can be triggering whether you're in the chronic illness community or not. Like, you know, there's a lot happening in the world today that I also need to move through that can trigger my own grief and my own sadness and loss. And when I plan my day where I give myself time in the morning and in the evening to, you know, set myself upright and then also process the day and the things that, you know, occurred, I am in such a better place mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I 100%. I feel like we could sit here and talk about this for hours and hours and hours. And I know you and I have had this conversation before. If you were to say, as we're wrapping up this episode, if you were to say to whoever is listening and they are feeling this like, ooh, I am feeling really overwhelmed by being in the chronic illness community, by, you know, just like even navigating my own experience, and you were to give them like one tool to kind of help them, one tool from your toolbox to help them kind of process what they're going through, what is like your go-to tool or the one of them?
My go-to tool is put on music and dance it out. It doesn't matter if it's like a 2-minute dance or it turns into 2 hours, but jumping up and down, shaking, moving your body, the more ridiculous you feel, the better it is.
Yeah. Me too. That's probably one of my favorite. I think we need to have like a dance party or something. I try to get people all the time. Like, we just dance it out. We need a dance party.
Absolutely. And the thing is too, like, even if you, you know, maybe you are feeling very tired or in pain, like you can still do that by like sitting down or even just like in your bed. Like, you can find little like shakes and movement and like little stretches. I think that's like the biggest piece, is just to allow yourself to embody whatever it is that's trying to come up, because those have lessons.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. This was such an amazing conversation. I love it. If you want to connect with me, connect with Taylor, you can find us both on transplantlife.com, where we talk about all this kind of stuff, all other kinds of things. And we would love to see you there and have you join the conversation. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Life Talks with Transplant Life. And we will see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. We invite you to hop on over to transplantlife.com and join the conversation. See you next time.